My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Grant and Danny Show is sponsored exclusively by the law firm Condori and Murrah. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Please tell them that we sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. We're live all over D.C. on 106.7. We're live in Richmond on both AM 910 and FM 105.1. You can listen to the show wherever you go. Pause and rewind the program with the always free Odyssey app. Make sure you have that downloaded. And you can watch us. If you want to stream us in high definition, you've got that available on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Let's get to our Beltway Blitz, the teams in town you care the most about. We'll start you off on the diamond. One of the voices of the Nats is our good buddy Dave Jagler. You can hear him and Charlie Slows on the call tonight. Pre-game 6:15, first pitch 6:45. Jags, I was at the game last night. The first inning was a nice glimpse of the future. Now, they didn't score after that, but they did have Abrams, Cruz, and Wood all come to the plate, all reach, and all come around to score in inning number one. I hope we see a lot of that over the years.
Yeah, it was really a great start to the game last night, and Mitchell Parker pitched well. Unfortunately, the defense let him down, and they didn't hold it. And, in fact, that was going to be the top three in the lineup today. But breaking news just a moment ago with Davey Martinez addressing the media, apparently they're going to scratch C.J. Abrams tonight. He made that diving play last night, kind of jammed up his shoulder a little bit. So Nassim Nunez is going to get the run at shortstop tonight. So you're not going to have two straight days of those three hitting at the top of the lineup.
So, Jags, my view towards the end of the season here is, you know, wins are nice. That's kind of how I view it. If the process of one of the young pitchers pitches well, they're in the game, some of the guys that are going to be here do something special or do something that makes you excited, I'm satisfied. I left satisfied last night. That running catch, or diving catch, whatever you want to call it, that Dylan Cruz had in the gap, I think I saw a 5% catch probability on that ball that he made, and the look on his face when as he's getting up, looking at Jacob Young. I got what I wanted last night, pretty much. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a way to look at it. I mean, you know, these guys want to win every day, but, I mean, you're sitting there, what, at 65 wins. If they win six more games out of the last 16, they would equal last year's win total of 71. But I think when you talk about, like Grant mentioned and like you mentioned, with Abrams at the top of the lineup and then Cruz here and Wood here and those guys batting consecutively and the emergence of the young pitchers, you would feel better about this edition of a 71 or so win team than where you were last year. So you didn't take the step forward in terms of wins, losses necessarily, but I think you've taken a step forward in the rebuild. Dylan Cruz being here, you like what you see. We're obviously going to have a half season of James Wood And I think at least the young starters are getting to the finish line pretty well. It was good to see Irvin have a very good start against the Braves after a couple of rough ones. Good to see Parker bounce back after a couple of rough ones. And the guy who's really pitched the best over the last month or so is going tonight, and that's DJ Hurs. So, I mean, these are guys trying to finish off a full major league season basically for the first time.
Yeah, DJ Hurs has been a very, very fun watch going into the offseason here. Could have something really impressive to build on after 6 1/3. Three hits from Mitchell Parker last night. He'll try to add to that in this series. Jags, I posted a poll on this on Twitter yesterday, but I want to get your thoughts. I had a hard time with the Nationals Player of the Year when I got the ballot for their awards for the media. For people that don't know, the Player and Pitcher of the Year are different, right? So they give a Pitcher of the Year, a Good Guy Award, and then a Player of the Year to a position player. But because of the fact that the kids, like Wood, who have played well, came up late, and a lot of the guys that were off to decent starts got traded, there's only like four guys that were here all season: Abrams, Garcia, Young, and Ruiz. I don't know. Where are you at on that?
Well, I'm with you, and I do have a vote in this, and I haven't voted yet, so I'm going to take it up to the deadline, which is, I think it's, what, next week, right? I mean, it would be hard, you know, whether, you know, if Wood has the highest OPS or something, hard to vote for a guy for a half season. But of the guys who've been here, I mean, clearly, if this was taken a month ago, it would have been C.J. Abrams. But I think of the four players that you mentioned, you know, probably the most consistent on both ends has been Garcia. I mean, I don't know. It's I could still be swayed here on the before the precincts close. I mean, obviously, you love the defense of Young, but he hasn't put up the offensive numbers of Garcia. Garcia's been, you know, in the top 10 in the league in batting average and had a big step forward offensively and has been, you know, decent defensively, although he doesn't rate well range. He's made the routine plays. So I think he certainly merits discussion. So unfortunately, there's not really a standalone standout. So it's going to be a tough call.
Yeah, I think it's actually pretty fun to see how it plays out with the voting. Jags, we appreciate you. We'll be listening in a little over 2 hours when you guys take the air.
Yeah, I mean, DJ Hurst starts. We're looking forward to. Hopefully he has a good night tonight. Thank you.
Be good.
Thank you, Jags.
There's our buddy Dave Jagler, him and Charlie, 6:15 pregame and 6:45 first pitch. All of our baseball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's move it along on the Blitz.
Okay, Benjamin Brown joins us to discuss the NFL. Benjamin, who's got the most on the line this weekend? Very cliched sports talk type discussion, but give me a team, a player, somebody that needs a good performance.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I would say, the overall matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, say what you want about where they stack up in their division right now, but I think two teams that at least internally had, you know, very much playoff hopes on their mind, started off 0-1, very much kind of in a must-win spot. And I think, you know, both quarterbacks in particular, I would say, need to play quite well. So I think it's Cleveland. I think it's Jacksonville. I think it's Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. I think, you know, who comes out of that game victorious is going to be much better off in the overall AFC playoff picture for sure.
Benjamin, I understand it was only a game, I promise, but there's not a good reason for Caleb Williams to not play pretty well here with everything around him in the near future as he gets this thing going. So too early to worry, but he was pretty bad in that first game. Were you surprised at all by that?
Yeah, I was. Obviously, the second half, you know, things, you know, definitely went the way of the Chicago Bears, but not necessarily the way of the Bears offensively. I think overall, I think everyone was relatively impressed with the rookie quarterbacks coming out of the preseason. I think basically every single one of them, you know, would have had an underwhelming week one type performance. So I think it's a little bit of just, you know, the navigation overall. I think, you know, offenses were a little bit behind defensively and, you know, not as much scoring, not as much downfield passing. So I think overall, you know, the Texans played a really exciting game, let some things very much slip over the top in their week one match against the Indianapolis Colts. And I think this is kind of, you know, a pretty good spot for Caleb Williams to get back on track. I am expecting a pretty decent performance. I think overall, I would maybe hold off on any sort of, you know, long-term proclamation for him until we kind of see this week two Sunday Night Football matchup against the Houston Texans.
Who did themselves, let me rephrase it here, Ben. Who kind of changed your mind about them in week number one, good or bad?
Yeah, I think for me, it was really the Dallas Cowboys. Kind of going back to this Cleveland Browns discussion, I thought at least defensively they were going to be, an above average unit. And to me, I think Dallas kind of had their way with them from the get go. I think it was 7-3 early on. Dallas was kicking the ball off to the Cleveland Browns, and it very much kind of felt like the game was already over at that point. And Dallas did nothing but kind of, take advantage of basically everything that the Cleveland Browns put forth. So I liked what Dallas did. I think there was very much some questions about, the NFC East, where they stack up, how is this Dak and CeeDee Lamb thing going to resolve? And, although they kind of took it down to the wire, they got the contract situations figured out. It does seem like at least, internally, they have the structure in place that they want to continue on for past the season. And I think overall, it allowed for a pretty exciting week one performance that I think kind of sets them up well to potentially be, the front runners in the NFC East here for the midway part of the season, for sure.
The Patriots were the biggest surprise winner, obviously, of week one. How much better are they maybe than they got credit, or was that just a fluky thing? Do you think they beat Seattle at home this weekend?
I don't, and I'm actually looking at, I was looking at that spread earlier, talking to some people that I, obviously talk ball with quite a bit, and that was one that I actually did feel was relatively short. I know Seattle didn't play outstanding in the first half, but I think very much dominated both, the offensive and defensive line in the second half of their matchup last weekend. So I'm leaning in the Seahawks direction. I do think the Patriots' performance, although good, it is still kind of underwhelming from an offensive standpoint. And I think when they kind of have to key in on a certain amount of players, from the receiving skill position set, I think they might struggle a little bit. Of course, the Bengals in their own right really struggle and should have the offensive, pieces in place, I would say, to take advantage of the Patriots defensively. That didn't happen in week one. And I'm more, on the side of blaming the Bengals and their preparation aspects than really kind of crowning the Patriots as, some sort of contender in the AFC. And I very much think we kind of see that play out here on Sunday. So I like Seattle. I still think the New England Patriots, for all intents and purposes, have, one of the lower talented rosters overall in the NFL, if not the worst. And I think we're going to see that kind of play out here on Sunday at home.
Ben, thank you as always, bud. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Thank you, pal. Hit that local 53 sounder. MAGA, that's Michael Phillips' music. The Richmonder, please and thank you. And on 910, the Fan down in the capital of the Commonwealth. Give me a feel for this game against the Giants, Michael.
I don't know if desperation's the right word here, because this is a young team and they're building. And I think we'd all be kind of depressed if they lose for what it'd mean the rest of the way. I think on the Giants side, desperation is absolutely the word here. If Daniel Jones can't beat this secondary with guys you haven't even heard of starting potentially this weekend, I think that probably marks the end of his time with the Giants. And it means the Giants made a huge mistake not drafting a quarterback when they had the number 6 pick this year. I think they've got a lot to lose potentially here this weekend.
What did you like most about what you saw from Washington against the Bucs?
I really liked a lot of the offensive concepts. I did, and I thought they kept it simple. You can tell there's going to be a lot more as the season goes on, but they set up some good things. I thought they gave Jaden Daniels good parameters to work inside. And, if they make those 2 field goals, when they score in the third quarter, they cut the score to 23-20. And I think if it's 23-20, they're not going to win, obviously, because Tampa was just hitting the button to score whenever they wanted to. But if it's 23-20 when we go to the fourth quarter, I think we fundamentally talk about it as a different game and talk about this offense differently.
Who has a big game this weekend for Washington?
I'd love to see Austin Ekeler have a big game on the ground. I loved what I saw of him as a receiver. Top 3 pass catchers Sunday, running back, tight end. I think you got to let the receivers do some work this time around. I'd love to see the running backs run and establish the ground. I think they'll have an opportunity to do that, especially if the passing game's successful early. I was impressed by what I saw of Austin Ekeler. I think there's still something there, still tread on the tires, so to speak, and I'd love to see him have a breakout game and establish this as a true two-headed beast at running back.
How'd you grade out Jaden Daniels' debut? He was named the Rookie of the Week in the NFL for week one.
Yeah, I hope that was a conversation changer for people, Grant, right? Because I think locally people were pretty critical of him and what he didn't do. I think it was a great reminder. He's a rookie quarterback, and the people whose job it is to watch all the rookies saw all the rookies and said, that guy was the best of all of them, right? That doesn't mean Jaden hit the standards he wants to hit for himself, but it's a good reminder. It's hard to be a rookie in the NFL, and it's really hard to be a rookie quarterback playing your first game, and it's super hard to be a rookie quarterback playing your first game against a Todd Bowles defense, and they threw some stuff at him. I think he'll have a little bit of a reprieve this week, hopefully, from that. I want Cliff Kingsbury to install fewer concepts where Jaden can run, right? I know a lot of it is going back and watching the tape. Hey, this was an option. He could have done either thing, and he made the right decision by running. I don't want that decision to be available to him. I want to prioritize his development over potentially getting a first down in one situation in one game.
What's the loss of Emmanuel Forbes mean?
Well, in the short term, it means that we're going to have to learn how to pronounce Noah's last name. I was practicing before my radio show, Igbinaghi, something like that. We'll get this right before Sunday, hopefully. I'm a professional radio guy, Danny, if you can't tell. It means that, you know, everybody's going to say, Emmanuel Forbes is part of the problem. Things will get better now. I tend to believe that NFL coaches go with who they believe is the best player at a given moment. If Emmanuel Forbes was out there, that tells me that Joe Witt and Dan Quinn got together and said, whoever's behind him is not going to give us as much of a chance to win as this guy will. So it makes you worse. I know people want to say, he's gone. The problem's gone. Well, the guy coming in has been rated by the coaches as not as good as the guy who was in there previously. I don't think it means good things necessarily.
Michael Phillips of The Fan in Richmond and the Richmonder on Grant and Danny. We're going to ask this question of our listeners next. I want you to lead into the conversation with your own answer. What is the conversation in town going to be if they win? And what is the conversation in town going to be if they lose after week two?
Yeah, I think a win steadies the ship, right? It doesn't say playoffs. Nobody's going to come on the radio tomorrow. I mean, somebody will come on the radio tomorrow, but nobody's saying he's going to come on the radio and say, playoffs, Super Bowl, NFC title game, right? It steadies the ship, sets the floor, and the floor will be, probably 5-6 wins after this, right? It shows you can win a football game, you can develop and grow. If they lose, I think we're potentially going to need to have an honest discussion about whether this is a tank season or not. Because if you can't beat the New York Giants and Daniel Jones, who's, I just can't overemphasize how terrible he's been at football recently. If he can't win that game, I think we need to look hard in the mirror and say, is it time to trade anything that's tradable and reload for next year and grab a high draft pick and admit this is a two-year project? I'm not excited to have that conversation, but I think it's where we'd be.
Michael, thank you as always, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, see you Sunday.
Be good. Yes, sir. We will see you at Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland. I'm still working on that. What will you guys be saying if the Commanders win, and what will you be saying if they lose? Best way to answer that is to tap into the people next on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can call us at 800-636-1067. Line up your calls now. Let's get into that on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, I think a win steadies the ship, right? It doesn't say playoffs. Nobody's going to come on the radio tomorrow. I mean, somebody will come on the radio tomorrow, but nobody's saying he's going to come on the radio and say, playoffs, Super Bowl, NFC title game, right? It steadies the ship, sets the floor, and the floor will be, you know, probably 5-6 wins after this, right? It shows you can win a football game, you can develop and grow. If they lose, I think we're potentially going to need to have an honest discussion about whether this is a tank season or not. Because if you can't beat the New York Giants and Daniel Jones, who's, I just can't overemphasize how terrible he's been at football recently. If he can't win that game, I think we need to look hard in the mirror and say, is it time to trade anything that's tradable and reload for next year and grab a high draft pick and admit this is a two-year project? I'm not excited to have that conversation, but I think it's where we'd be.
In 1 hour, right here on Grant and Danny at 5:30, 60 minutes out, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, former longtime NFL quarterback, joins the show. Want to talk to him about Jaden Daniels, the other rookies in week one, some of the struggles at the quarterback position, and the passing being down in the NFL, among the things we'll hit with him coming up in 1 hour at 5:30 on G&D. Taking you up to 6:15 tonight, you're locked into The Fan. Before we get to what we were planning on talking about here, which is what will you be saying if the Commanders win? What will you be saying if they lose? That Michael Phillips cut just opened up to me what is a whole nother conversation.
Got you percolating a little bit.
It's got me thinking. Grab the back end of that answer for me, Darius. He basically suggests that if they lose, and I'm going to editorialize in an ugly way, if they lose a game where they look bad and the Giants look decidedly better, his point is we might need to have a conversation we don't want to have about how bad this team is, how long this season's going to be, and maybe how we need to view this season. Meaning, should they potentially trade John Allen and do the thing they did a year earlier with Chase Young and Montez Sweat where they go get draft picks? Should you kick the tires on some of these veterans on one-year deals as trade chips closer to the Halloween deadline? The NFL is becoming more and more a league where you see that type of planning. They're not using the word rebuild. They're saying recalibrate. Dan Quinn's talking about finding north. But the bottom line is if they lose to the Giants in week two, there's going to be a conversation you could have where you could say, it ain't time to find north. They don't know where north is. They got to stand up before they can start running north. And maybe they're further away from that than we think. The flip side of that, though, is obviously it's super early. You're overreacting. It's been two games in eight quarters in an era where nobody takes the preseason seriously. And certainly this group didn't seem to care to use the preseason all that extensively. Allen and Payne, as an example, didn't even play a snap, a lick in the preseason. Jaden Daniels only played in two of the games and barely played in those. So I think there are plenty of avenues to drive down in either direction. But again, listen to Phillips here. This was just a few minutes ago on the show.
I think we're potentially going to need to have an honest discussion about whether this is a tank season or not. Because if you can't beat the New York Giants and Daniel Jones, who's, I just can't overemphasize how terrible he's been at football recently. If he can't win that game, I think we need to look hard in the mirror and say, is it time to trade anything that's tradable and reload for next year and grab a high draft pick and admit this is a two-year project? I'm not excited to have that conversation, but I think it's where we'd be.
So this is a very simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an overreaction? Is it unreasonable to say if they lose to the Giants and they're 0-2, we need to start having different discussions about this year?
Not for me, but it doesn't mean that they should trade all the players before week three. But I just want to offer that distinction. I think when people hear that, they're going to go, no, there's 15 games left. And you talk about a rookie quarterback, and this is a new everything. The regime should be, you know, working for it. You should be better in November than you are here in September. The point is, for the rest of us, recalibrate your expectations. What we're talking about on the outside looking in, we need to go, this is not a take teams by surprise and they're a 10-11 win team like some crazy homers thought. This is not a, well, the division's down and the Eagles' swoon last year wasn't a mirage and Dallas takes a step back. Maybe they could surprise some people. No. This is a bad roster that wasn't even constructed to compete. So take the parts that aren't going to be here and sell them off and try to build something for later. That is a reasonable conversation. Now, the only caveat would be we can evolve. But if the Giants win on Sunday and go on to actually be okay. Now, I don't see that. I think they're awful. I think they're picking top five. I think they're one of the two or three worst teams in the sport. But if they win and then go on to play well, we can recalibrate our feeling about how bad this week two loss is. Right? But right now, the Giants coming in, a lot of people thought, myself included, this is one of the worst teams in football. In week one, they played like it. If in week two they beat you and then go back to being terrible, you're going, we stink. We're the get-right game for the stinkiest team outside of Carolina in the NFL. What are we doing? What's the point of any of this? What's the point of any conversation about, can they go back and find a way to beat Cincinnati? Who gives a bleep if they do? They're in the pig pen with some of the worst teams in the NFL. This should be about the future. That conversation to me is very much on the table if you lose this weekend.
So maybe I'm not as in the same like dire bucket as you would be in that sense, or it sounds like Phillips would be ready to hop into. I think the teams that played badly in week one are being way undervalued right now. And there are going to be a couple that are terrible, obviously, and maybe this is one of them. We don't know. But just generally, if you stink in week
one, I think that's fair.
The sky is falling all week. The Giants are not as bad as we think. The Commanders are not as bad as we think, probably. This is just generally how I view it. The teams look really good in week one and surprise you in week one. New England as an example, maybe Minnesota with Darnold getting off to a fast start. Generally, if you're stunned positively in week one, all of a sudden you're talking yourself into some things that a week ago, with a lot of data and information and an off-season's worth of content, you didn't think. And generally, if you wait a few weeks, everything kind of comes toward the middle a bit. The only way I would feel like, after just two games, that I need to completely change my eyeline on this season, and now I feel like this team stinks and is going to be one of the worst in the league, is if they have a clunker. Like, if they play a really bad game against the Giants. And I don't know what that turns into from a score standpoint, Danny. But let's say, like, 23-10 Giants, or similarly to the Bucs game, the fourth quarter is kind of a play-out-the-clock quarter. I don't see this as a possibility. It's hard for me to envision this. I'm betting against this. But if that were to happen, now I'll join you guys. Because I think to be able to start a year with two straight like that, and now that's all of the data, and it's not like it's nothing. I know it's only two games, mm-hmm. but it's 11% of your season. And we're talking about right. 11% of the football season where you will have stunk at that point. But the fact is, I had them best case 1-1 through two. I thought there was a decent chance they could be 0-2. and that you're going to split with the Giants anyway, so now you win the one there. You said if they beat the Bengals, who cares? Not a who cares to me. That would be a really, really good road win in primetime. So I guess I'm going to be more dismissive of a loss in week two being some tell-all if they play a pretty good game and lose. But it's about the process, not the result for me. If they stink again, and Daniel Jones looks like Mayfield did, and Neighbors goes for a 147 or something, and Devin Singletary, who averaged 3 yards a carry last week, runs for a 120, I'll come in here Monday and I'll be ready to say, let's buckle up. This is what four wins looks like.
So
they're going to be picking in the top five.
Let me phrase it slightly differently to get to the same place. To me, I don't think you can lose to the Giants without looking like crap. Like, I think you could lose to a good team and you go, hey, they were competitive. They played hard. This was close. This could have gone either way. A field goal by Siebert goes in or doesn't, whatever, right? If you are losing to a team that we all think is terrible, and maybe you don't. Maybe you don't think the Giants are terrible. But
I think they're bad. I don't think they're as bad as everybody's making it out to be after one game.
Fair enough. I think
they just played one of their, let's say, two worst games of the year. Remember last year as an example I'll point to. They opened with the Cowboys and they lost, I think, 40-0. And Daniel Jones got sacked like 11 times.
Yes.
It was something ridiculous like that. The next week they went out and had like a 28-point performance against Arizona or something. Remember that? Where it was just kind of like a...
I don't specifically, but I believe it.
I kind of view it more like that. Like, they just had a game that is going to be, when they look back and they go, what were our three worst games this year? One of them's the one they just played.
Mm-hmm. So the way I'm thinking of it is they're one of the few worst teams in football. And I think that's a good conversation if you don't think they are. They won that game in Arizona, then I think lost four or five straight and finished, you know, with one of the worst records in the game. And two of their six wins were against Washington. So if that's the case, if that's what we're doing, to me, all other discussions are irrelevant. That's what I don't mean Cincinnati beating them specifically matters or doesn't matter. I'm saying if you can't beat the Giants at home, when you should have the element of surprise, you should have they're not sure what you're going to do, and you've kind of got a good feel for them over the last several seasons. There's plenty of tape from Daniel Jones shoving it on you, and you know what Brian Daboll likes to do, and this defense, et cetera. This is a game that if you can't beat them, what's the point of any of this? I think it's the way a lot of fans are going to feel.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're a team that's basically what you are, and I don't view it as this early. It's just too early for me to have that energy.
Which I get.
So to speak.
Which I think is fair, by the way, because, again, There's so much we don't know. And that's why I'm saying I offer the only window out, the only outlet for that is if the Giants go on to have a decent season and they're a 7-10 team instead of what I expect, which is one of the bottom feeders, then you go, oh, that's not terrible anymore.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're going to be 7-10 or have a decent season. I guess for me the difference is I think Washington, with a brand new group and a new staff and a new quarterback, will just keep getting better, hopefully, as the year goes on. So, like, the team that plays the Giants this week, ideally, is not as good as the team that plays them, you know, in several weeks.
So, remember what last year, for example, that Thursday night game, now, it was terrible at the time, and it was brutal, but when Washington got their, you know, what's kicked by Chicago, that was a Chicago team that couldn't get right, they weren't very good. Well, they actually went on to demonstrate they weren't bad at all. So that loss looked a lot better in retrospect. Again, it doesn't look good because of how dominated they were. But at one point, you go, oh, my God, it's so embarrassing. You lost to the Lions. Well, actually, we now know the Lions are pretty decent. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of a phenomenon could happen. I leave the door open for that. But I think a lot of people are going to be really upset about their expectations and calibrations for this year. So I guess it's a long way of saying I think a lot more conversations will be on the table, like Philip said, than if they do lose that game.
I agree with that part. I'm just saying I don't think I'll be part of the group that is ready after week two to kind of throw in the towel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean like on the playoffs, which I've never thought was really a possibility.
No, but I know there's a distinction.
Like on the competitive portion of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I just point to last year in the opener, the Giants lost 40-0. Jones was throwing interceptions, pick sixes, threw for 104 yards, like 50%. Everybody wanted him benched. And then the next week he came out and threw for 320 and a couple touchdowns, and they scored 30 on the Cardinals. Like, this league, week one versus week two, is so different. And that's all I'm saying is I do think there's a possibility where both teams look a lot better in this matchup. And, like, you don't see a path to they play well and lose. I think they could look a lot better, lose like a 24-20 game, and I'm at least going, all right, the secondary wasn't terrible. The wide receivers got involved. Jaden Daniels looked like a pro passer and is dynamic with his feet. And yeah, they ended up losing, but, and there's still something there that I think you can build on this early, you know, in a brand new program. But I want to open up the phones for you guys with Danny right now, 800-636-1067. Where do you weigh in on this conversation, this idea from Phillips, that if it's ugly on Sunday, and I'd agree if they just completely lay an egg, that we could start having some very different conversations. But he's basically saying, regardless, if they lose and they're 0-2 and they lost to the Giants, then this is going to be a pretty gross season. Do you buy that? And what will you be thinking if they win versus if they lose? G&D on the Fan.
If they lose, I think we're potentially going to need to have an honest discussion about whether this is a tank season or not. Because if you can't beat the New York Giants and Daniel Jones, who's, I just can't overemphasize how terrible he's been at football recently. If he can't win that game, I think we need to look hard in the mirror and say, is it time to trade anything that's tradable and reload for next year and grab a high draft pick and admit this is a two-year project? I'm not excited to have that conversation, but I think it's where we'd be.
That's Michael Phillips of the Richmonder and our buddy at the Fan in Richmond. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on those thoughts here on Grant and Danny. What are you going to be saying if they win? What are you going to be saying if they lose is the question on G&D right now. So, Danny, if they win, what are you going
to
be saying?
If they win, there's a point to all this. Right, there's a point to pretending and breaking down matchups and figuring out what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and point of attack each week, etc. Like, to me, if they win this game and you see improvement, because I think you're going to have improvement on both sides of the football. This is the really profound statement of the year. You have to be better than you were in week one to beat anybody on both sides of the ball. You cannot be the worst defense in the sport like you were in week one. And you have to have something come out of the offense besides Jaden Daniels playing hero. If you do those sorts of things and you play better, then having a realistic, regular football discussion about a football team is still on the table and still worthwhile. Whether they win or lose games going forward is fine. But to me, if the opposite happens, we'll get to that in a second, I don't even want to talk about it. But if they win this game, even if it's ugly at times, you still, I think, have to have played so much better just to be competitive, even against a team that I think is terrible, that I'll go, okay, we can still talk about it like it's a normal season.
So for me, if they win, they're right where they should be, honestly. And hopefully a lot of the noise tampers down a little bit. 1-1 through two games. Having played a team that made the playoffs in Tampa on the road last year, and then the home game in the division, you'd be 1-0 in the division, 1-0 against your rivals, 1-0 in protecting your home field with, you know, the new name slapped on the side. And I think that's probably about what they should be. So I think that would be good. I also think there has been too much, in the grand scheme of things, negativity this week.
Mm.
Because it is the first game of a new regime. If you want to be annoyed that they suggested it's not a rebuild, be my guest, that's your prerogative. If you want to be frustrated that they essentially made it seem like they're recalibrating and not rebuilding, that's fine. But you have a brand new everything. It ain't coming together overnight. Rome was not built in a day. So any expectation that they were just going to hit the ground sprinting is probably not very fair. And so I hope if they come out and they beat the Giants, ideally then Jaden Daniels will have played pretty well, and he will have his first Rookie of the Week honor and his first win under his belt through two games. And that's really more important than anything else, honestly. But then on top of that, hopefully it means that some of the things that they did so terribly in the first week,
mm-hmm.
which was ultra disappointing, and I'm not suggesting it isn't. Go back and find the audio from right after the game. They were awful defensively. They were terrible throwing the football. And just overall, they were one of the, I don't know, three worst teams in the NFL. And yeah, that's super disappointing because there was a lot of big talk and a lot of rhetoric and a lot of feeling like this was going to look different right away with how they were going to play and the types of players they brought in here. So I understand being let down. Sure, no problem. But But if they win, I think we could just take a deep breath and everyone calm down and go, let's kind of reassess here for a second.
It'll either validate or contradict week number one.
Sure.
Right?
But don't you agree in general that, like, I mean, you're talking about, like, same old team and, oh, you know, I don't remember what the phrase you just used was, but, like, the all of this, there's a point to all of this. I mean, it's one game into Dan Quinn. It's not a little aggressive to be that frustrated with everything?
Based on the expectation and based on the rhetoric, no, I don't think. Now,
because I mean, they've said it's going to take time. They never pretended. They've not used the P word playoffs once. I mean, the only thing they have done is they refuse to say rebuild.
Right. Well, I mean, you got Josh Harris right before the season saying we expect to be a lot better. We expect to be competitive.
He said they'd be better than last year, 4-13. But he also said basically the results this year didn't matter to him at all. He's playing the long game.
Which I, yeah, but expecting was better. This was supposed to be different.
Okay, but.
And if you lose to the Giants, it's not different.
Could be better.
Sure, but that's not what we're really talking about, right? I mean,
that's what I thought he was.
You could get technical and be like, they might win five. Come on. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be not lose to the Giants in your home debut. It's supposed to be that.
I agree, but like, so September 15th, they've got to have it figured out?
Not figured out. Not figured out. Nobody's calling him to play. I mean, a couple homers are, but I pick him to win seven games. You don't look like a seven-win team if you lose to the Giants in week two after getting shellacked in week one. You know what I mean? Like, the point is there's a happy medium between Super Bowl this year, like a couple of crazies thought, and embarrassing through a couple of weeks. My point is I can't have it be embarrassing. I can't do that again.
So if they lose, then what?
It's this. That's what it is. I can get you an under-talented roster. I can get you an overmatched defensive head coach with a bunch of cliches. I know him. I can have a bad roster perform badly. Ron and the Marty Party. I get you a guy to do that. It means there's not much different. That's what it'll mean at this stage to me.
What I'll agree with you is through 2 weeks, it will feel very similar. Because in week one, that was Rivera football, Rivera era. Like, find the game blindly that isn't the Rivera game. You can't do it. I get that. If your point is as simple as that's how it looked through two games, I think that's fair. To just say that that's what it is, like moving forward, or this is now what the season is, or I don't know, it feels like just aggressive to me and early. This is not, no expectation should have been that this is a microwave outfit or operation.
Totally.
And I don't think they've ever suggested that. The only thing I would have done differently is I don't think, and I don't know really what the strategy was here or why they did it this way, but I don't think Peters or Quinn went as hard as I would have to basically say, this is not a good situation we're taking over. And there's a reason I'm sure you don't want to like belittle
sure,
all the people.
You don't want to run guys under the bus.
But maybe you could have just done it behind the scenes. You could have done it grabbing some people and whispering. It did not. Like, I don't know, honestly. Were they surprised by Sunday? I'll bet they were.
I think they were. And
were they caught off guard by how bad they looked? Or did they know going into the game, we're probably not ready for Tampa?
See, I don't think they knew. Because I think when you go get nothing but veterans in the offseason, and you're one of the older teams in the NFL in average age, which they are, when you add in the Wagners of the world, and you're trying to establish your culture, and you go get vets, I don't think they thought they'd be like this. Right, if they're 0-2 and not very good, it's another kind of missed assessment to me. But that's my own two cents.
Dan Orlovsky joins the show at 5:30 from ESPN. That's about a half hour from right now on Grant and Danny. Next, going into week two, let's give you the biggest storyline for every single NFL game this weekend. You're locked into the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.